Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the NBA Boys podcast. I am one of your hosts, Benny Levinson, along with my stellar co-host, Brian Lewis. Brian, how you doing?
I am doing amazing, keeping dry on this wet Tuesday evening. A lot of great basketball tonight, Benny. Excited to talk about it with you.
Absolutely. It's been a fun NBA season so far, and the first thing I want to comment on is that Brian Lewis is right now sitting or laying on his bed, I think, in the dark, and his face is being illuminated by his computer screen. It's quite the look, but I dig it. Brian, how are you doing on this wet Tuesday?
As you could tell, I'm very popular right now. But overall, I am very happy with how things are shaking out in the league. There are a few surprises, a few things that we expected, but definitely some high highs for your boy. And I'm excited to see how the rest of the season pans out. But we'll get into everything.
Yes, I mean, I'll be honest, it's a good time to be Brian Lewis, or whatever your name, Draymond's right hook. A lot of good performances both individually and as a team, and we could talk about that. Something I'll point out also is it is just us two today, so we'll be bringing you all the action. Now, Brian, we'll get right into it. The first thing and that we wanted to discuss, and that I really wanted to talk about was Anthony Davis. And I'll just let you have the floor. What do you have to say, Brian?
Well, in the beginning of the season, Anthony Davis was obviously a piece of a puzzle of that crazy Lakers team that we knew could play ball. We know he's a talented player when he's healthy. Well, he's only missed one game so far. That's one. Two, well, at least until tonight, he's actually out with us. We got sick on the floor, so that's great. The last week alone, the guy had a 55-point performance with 17 boards, three blocks. He had a 44-point outing, 10 rebounds. He's had a double-double aside from tonight's game. I think the past 11 games, he has been a dominant force on the offensive side of the floor, on the defensive side of the floor. He's averaging in the last 7 games alone, 42 points, 13 boards, three blocks. And on 1.3 turnovers, shooting over 85% from the line and over 70% from the freaking field. This guy is doing it all, and he single-handedly won my matchup against, I think, the strongest team in the league, in the land, in Joe Salaturo. He's been absolutely dominant, and it shows on the floor the amount of lobs he's caught. I don't know if you've watched the Lakers ball out the last like 10 games or so. They're on a really great hot streak. Russ is playing well. He's kind of bounced back. LeBron's playing pretty well. He got a little hurt recently, but again, this team is absolutely dominant because AD has been that cog at the center position. He's not really playing power forward anymore. He's playing at the center, a lot less speed at that position. He is going right around these guys. He's stepping out in the mid-range. He is just doing his thing. Loving it from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, I mean it's been crazy, but if we all remember, 3 or 4 years ago, this is what Anthony Davis was as a player. And he's just been injured and in his head. The team hasn't been that good. There's been, all these different things that happening that have prevented these type of performances. But for whatever reason, I imagine he's healthy, but I mean he's been healthy before. There, he's decided, I'm going to be the Anthony Davis of old. And I mean, he looks like a top five player right now in the league. I think the MVP race has been open. There's so many players that are in it. And Anthony Davis has entered his name into that, I think. So, I mean, I'm really excited. The national media loves the Lakers. So, we're going to be hearing all about the Lakers if he continues this. And we'll see more of him and how he plays, which I'm always excited about because he's a great player and I want to see great players play well.
That's a fact. And there has been a lot of injuries for star players this year. And it's one of those years, like, thankfully, knock on wood, I got a piece of it. But in general, having Anthony Davis on the floor makes for a more exciting NBA season. Absolutely.
Yep, and it's always nice to see a LeBron, led team be good too. I hate seeing the, I don't love Russ either, but I he's playing better too, and I do just like seeing them play better, and it's all being led by, your star, Anthony Davis, who, I think we all knew when you drafted him, either that was going to be a home run pick, or it was going to be a dud because he was either going to get injured or not play that well, but. Right now, Brian Lewis, it's looking quite good for your boy. So.
I don't mind having him for sure. But talking about last week, do you want to run through the matchups from last week, kind of go through the storylines, see how things shook out for our companions over here?
I would love to. I want to start with my matchup first. Great matchup with Kappa. It looked like he had it most of the week, but he ended up winning by 0.11 in field goal percentage and 0.04 in free throw. If you paid attention to our group chat, he said, "I hope someone shoots Anfernee Simons because Anfernee Simons has been ridiculous." And also, he could have won the matchup if he had an insane game like he had the night before where he dropped 44. But Kappa won, big win for Kappa, I think. But again, I want to shout my own team out because I'm playing without Desmond Bane and my third round pick in Cade Cunningham. But we'll see
Oh,
how that all
Kate. Well,
unfolds.
I don't even know if Kate might not be back for months.
He might not be back till February, March. So that's a huge loss, and something I should have considered when drafting him. Was if he even gets a minor injury, they're going to bench him because they're in the Wembanyama sweepstakes. So, but
Yeah.
yep, the next
That's tough
matchup.
to go. That's tough to also, but really quick, that is
Yeah.
so hard to gauge, though. You know, anyone could play Monday morning quarterback. You know that. Just want to put that out there. That is a tough one. But losing a top, with a top 10 assist guy puts up how many points a game? Like 15 plus? Like he's.
He was probably going to average 20 this year. He was going to have probably average 8 and 8 with, probably a decent amount of turnovers and low field goal percentage. But those counting stats go a long way, and I built my team around that. So I'm really missing him right now. But what can you do?
Do you have a move in play to kind of counteract? Are you gonna look at trades, or I know you don't really trade much. Are you gonna look for more waiver wire pickups, are you thinking?
We're gonna do waiver wire pickups for now, but if a trade must be made, a trade's gonna have to be made. I'm normally not a trade guy, but if you lose, 8 rebounds a game, every game, that really adds up. So I might need a trade for someone that gets boards and blocks. So if anyone has a guy like that, I'm willing to listen to some offers.
You hear that, everybody?
Yes,
Mark that
please.
down.
And I have points to spare. So if you need some points, I can offset that. But then let's jump into the next matchup, which is a matchup that my co-host was involved in. It was a 5-4 dub, as Brian, you mentioned before. Looks like it was really close. It came down to turnovers. It looks like you had two less. You guys had an insane amount of turnovers, 97 to 95, and that was the deciding factor. In addition, 9 points, which you won by. And he only won rebounds by 3. So I only can imagine the amount of fantasy app checking you guys were doing Sunday night and Sunday throughout the day. Was it a lot?
Benny, you know me like the back of your hand. I was looking at my screen time might be 24 hours this past day or so. Like I was on my screen between fantasy football, between fantasy basketball, and between my horrible ADHD, I was all over both of my phones on Sunday. Joe's team, I can honestly say, is so stacked. He also has a lot of pretty devastating injuries. He has Paul George on the IL. He's got Chris Paul out as well. At one point, he had Klay out. His team is really good, and I barely squeaked by because I had AD who had 55 points that night. I would have lost if he hadn't had 55. That was a
That's
ridiculous output.
wow, that's facts.
You know
Yeah.
what I mean? That's what I'm saying. Luckily, he had more guys playing. He had like three more guys playing than me on Sunday. That's where the turnovers kind of switched because we were close in multiple categories. I edged him out on field goal percentage and it was really close in general. But I'm not going to lie, my team led the league in multiple categories this week. Assists, which is really a really competitive category, as well as blocks. So I'm feeling pretty spicy, and I
Ryan,
was second in points.
I don't want to suck you too hard here, but I was looking at the standing sorted by stats earlier too, and your team's at the top in quite a few of those categories. So I think we have a new, team to watch here in our Brian's team. So
Uh-oh. Anyway, enough about me. Joe, but I will say Joe's team is nasty. 3-4 is not correct. That should not be his backing for his record. That's insane. His team is nasty. But in any
well,
event.
the good thing with our league is that it's so tight right now. The worst team, which is Nate's team, is not a bad team, and he has two
Not a
wins.
bad team at all, actually. He's someone to talk about as well. His team's really good.
But the worst team by record is two wins. So if everyone's in it right now, and the most is five. So it's gonna be really tight all the way through. There's gonna be teams that are get you know it that are gonna get left off at the end that have winning records like last year. That was me and a few other teams. So but that's, again, as I say at every pod, that's the competitiveness of this league, and it really makes it fun.
Oh yeah.
Let's hop into the next matchup. This was Fletch versus Ian. Fletch took the dub. Fletch 5-2 right now, team to watch.
Seriously, Fletch's team has been balling, and Kevin Herter's kind of cooled down a bit, but Lauri Markkanen's still going. He picked up Monte Morris, who's been playing some pretty valuable ball with some assists, a couple steals here and there. Shea and Steph Curry, come on. Shea and Steph, the two of those guys are gonna carry him far. Kyrie has been balling. Man, his team is pretty good, but I was kind of shocked to see, no offense, Ian's team, another good team, going to an even record, 3-3-1, another really talented team. I think I don't know. I think there's a lot to be said about both, but in general, I think both teams have made some serious moves on the waiver wire to really sneak themselves into a good position right now in the middle of the season.
Well, and the thing with the waiver wire this season is that there's been so few like actual good ads. I forget who hasn't, but like Bol Bol, if you have him right now, he was a great ad, and there's a few other guys too. But it's really been, you got to nail the right guy on the waiver this season. Otherwise, it's a bunch of duds. But like you said, I think Ian has, and it goes a long way.
Absolutely,
Let's
but
hop.
both again, both good teams.
Yes, sir. Oh wait, son, I'll do a masturbatory comment here, but I will say I just checked, and I Fletch, if you're listening to the pod, I would have beat you this week. I lost to Cop, I would have beat you. So
Keep that in mind. Don't get too comfortable.
don't get, come on. Next matchup was John versus John, and by John I mean John Peterson and John Shokan. Tight matchup that Shokan took. His team shot an abysmal 39%, which I don't even know who he must have been playing. Was he J just a bunch of Jalen Greens? I don't know how that happens, but
Hey,
he still took.
what? Get those shots up. Get those shots up. I
I
love
guess
it.
he still took the win. He took free throw, 3-pointers made, assists by five. Steals and points, all by a relatively significant margin. So a good win for John C, John Shokan, sorry, the two John C's, against another good team in John Peterson. Next matchup, we have Nate versus Henny. Nate took this one, a great win by him. As we've said, there are no bad teams in the league. Henny's 2-4-1. He was 2-3-1 prior to this game. He took the categories that he needed to, won significantly in the categories that he's good at, and that's all it takes. And he won comfortably 6-3. And then
Yeah,
last,
shooting. Sorry, really quick. Sorry to cut you off.
please.
I really do like Nate's team. Henny, the shot, value shot, I mean, 52.7% is great. The rebounds were decent. Assists were actually pretty there. Like, assists were probably middle of the road. Steals were high. But when you have a team that shoots that many more shots than the other, like, it's going to be tough to beat them. Like, almost 200 points difference. Like, those are the guys who are playmakers. You have, Kristaps Porzingis has been playing out of his mind, out of his mind. KP in the last seven has been putting on an absolute show. There has been, let me see what the exact number is. Here we are. This guy put up in the last seven, 116 points, 43 boards, assists are nine, steals are six. So six for a center, six steals in seven games is pretty sweet. Seven blocks, one a game. He's shooting over 50% from the field, almost 80 from the line. He has been playing so incredibly well. And that, I don't know if you've watched that, that Lakers and Wizards game was one of the most entertaining games I've watched in recent memory. The amount of lobs and the Gaffords, the KPs and the AD going at it like absolute animals was so, so entertaining. Plus, he's got Zion. Trae Young has been honestly kind of down compared to what he usually puts up. Jeremy Grant, Brogdon, he has Sabonis. His team really has some great pieces. And John Wall's been playing like a high school John Wall against NBA players. He's been playing pretty okay, like a 12 points, something like that. 12 points, nothing to write home about, but he's shooting well from the line at least. So that's
I
good.
Love me
but,
some John Wall. So.
Of course. Love John Wall. He's the man. But yeah, I think I would watch out for Nate Steen to have a crazy comeback. So that's exciting for his first year.
Yeah, I mean, he's right in it. Like we said, 2-5 ain't nothing to sneeze at right now. I mean, just string a few wins together, you're right back into it. So, and he just got one. Yeah. So that's all it takes. And then the last matchup was a tie. It was between Coots and John and Mark. And the tie was in blocks, 20-20. There's a few other close categories, three-pointers. John and Mark won that by two. Coots won three free throw by one. Percentage point. John and Mark won field goal by 1 point. So this was really tight too. Tight all the way through. And that's why it was a tie. And there's been hella ties this year. That's two for Coots now. I'm sure he's gotta be frustrated. Maybe they're correct.
Crazy.
Maybe they'll correct the stat or something and give him a dub, something like
I hope,
that.
I would be blown away if it'd be enough. That would be crazy, even for one block. But the craziest part about this matchup, I don't know if anybody's watching this, but at like 6:30 p.m. on Sunday, show me your Bud Inc. They were up 8-0-1 on this team, and Coots' team battled back, and getting a tie when you're down eight categories on Sunday night, that might feel a bit better than other ties where he was leading. It was a crazy comeback, not one that I saw, actually. I didn't see it coming at all. I assumed it was an absolute dub. But crazy, crazy work for the Real Greek Freaks team. It was a really interesting matchup. So doesn't feel good to have one slip away if you're John and Mark, but definitely a great matchup this week from them.
Indeed. And it was a great matchup by, most of these matchups were close this week. And
yeah, they were.
And it'll be the same next week. So I'm excited to see what happens. Next thing we want to talk about, Brian, was a topic that you discussed, was who have been the most disappointing players this season. I'll let you go first.
Sure. So when I was going through my list of disappointments, I was going off of performance currently. I was going off of expectations. Also, I was going with just the overall draft pick. So while it might not be like the number one overall pick, it's the biggest disappointment. Overall, I think there are some players who might not have had the strongest start. Not saying they'll have a bad finish, but I think so far it's been kind of rocky for a few guys. One player that really sticks out to me has been CJ McCollum. I think while his team has been playing quite well, his offensive prowess is what brings him above and beyond most other two guards in the league. He's averaging 17 and change right now. He doesn't have that same look to his game that his freedom, I feel like, has been his, for lack of intents and purposes. The guy has had his wing clipped. His wings have been clipped. I feel like he's playing within a system a bit more in Portland, or rather in New Orleans as opposed to in Portland. They have way more players on this team, and it's really diminishing his touch on the ball. I think being drafted 35th overall, third round pick, I want more value out of a guy who's, instead of putting up 17, 5 and 5, I want someone who's really going to change my team, and right now he's just not doing it. And realistically, another guy that has been kind of upsetting, and he's had a good year, and I hate to even bring him up, but I just don't see him being the player that he was drafted at, and that's Julius Randle. I saw him live myself. I got a chance to go to the Knicks and Pistons game not too long ago, and I saw RJ Barrett take over the game. I saw Jalen Brunson take over the
I
game.
have a question for you, Brian. Is this fantasy wise or is this as a player?
This is expectations on the defensive side of the ball, as well as partially offensive. He's
So
been
you're
lack
saying
this is
more of like just like as a team, like NBA player?
NBA player. If you I'm doing fantasy and NBA, because these two guys do match up. Julius Randle
This might
efficient,
take this might
what?
turn into first take in a second then, Brian.
I like it.
I mean, he's on my team. I think you were about to start talking about efficiency. I will give you that. His efficiency has not been there this season, but I mean, it wasn't there last season either, so I'm not really surprised. But he's averaging 21, 8.5, and 3.5, which I'll take, So, when, especially, where I got him in the draft. But I think, as a Knicks fan, and you're watching these games, I'll be honest, I have not watched many Knicks games this season. He's definitely been lacking in the winning player categories, like efficiency and turnovers and effort on defense. But as a fantasy player, I think he's been okay, being is that I was all right punting field goal percentage and free throw percentage. So I wanted to defend my pick there.
No, totally fair. I guess in his side, I'm thinking more of the actual play. He is literally a revolving door of defense. Like, he does not hustle, does not try at all, and then he plays a lot of ISO ball and doesn't really, like, he controls the ball a lot, and he only has 3 assists a game. Does not really translate to winning basketball in general when you control the ball a lot as a fucking as a big man. But that's my pick. I think his efficiency is horrible. His defense is non-existent. And for someone who's supposed to lead this team and be the man on the Knicks, it's just not been impressive. But I digress.
All right, I'll go next. I've got one for you. I think Scotty Barnes, especially for where he was taken, has been very disappointing this season. At least to where, I think we all were hoping that he would go. He's averaging 14.5, 7 and 5, on one steal and one block a game. Those are good stats. But he was picked in the third round. He was picked 8th in that round ahead of Zion. Ahead of Miles Turner, who gets a fuck ton of blocks, ahead of Donovan Mitchell in the next round, Jaylen Brown, Shea, a lot of guys that are kind of dominating right now. He just has not taken that step yet. I mean, I'm not worried about him, his future or anything, or him as a player. I just think for, where he was drafted and where Coots probably saw him, how good he saw him being this season, I just don't think he's been where he wanted him to be.
You hear that, everybody? Anybody's even thinking about anything else, Benny's all over his head right now. Give me that. Give me what was the biggest, what is the biggest standout for that? What would you say is the biggest reason for your pick right there?
I just would expect more points there, more assists. I know 5 is decent, but he really has the ball a lot. And I and points wise, 14.5 is pretty abysmal. I know they have, some good players on that team. And Pascal, the player I have, is, doing great, and they've got, other guys there that, need the ball, like Van Vliet. But I just would be hoping for more, a little bit more from the counting stats, a little bit more points. At least from where he
Totally
was
fair.
taken.
No, you're not wrong at all. I'm totally with that, actually. Man, there's so many players who have been really, really out of this world, and there are some players like just, but also like injuries, like,
No, that, and I was
and
just gonna say, there's so many of these guys that have been disappointing solely because of injuries, and it sucks to say, but that's the case for some of these guys. Like Cade, like the guy I have, Paul George, Kawhi,
Middleton's been tough.
Middleton. Yeah, absolutely. When you draft a guy kind of high and you just get nothing from them because of an injury, that can really, really, really kill your team. And we'll see how it unfolds the season. But you have a top three pick that goes out. It's really hard to win because you've got to really nail another pick, because all it takes is some other guy to really nail his like top three or four picks, and he's going to beat you, quite simply. And especially if they don't have any injuries. Unfortunately, that's just the name of the game, though. You can't control that. And same with fantasy football. It's you lose a guy that gets you a fuck ton of points, and suddenly your team isn't good anymore because you're missing those counting stats, you're missing those points. So, Brian, any more disappointing players that you wanted to name?
I mean, Miles Bridges.
Well,
Not disappoint. Not I should say this. Not disappointing. I'm disappointed
in him.
in him. He anyway. I don't want to sound like someone's grandfather, but absolutely ridiculous. And I can't even believe he's even
I mean,
still available in leagues. Like it's pretty insane that he's still available.
talk about fumbling the bag. I mean, he had a
Fumbled.
breakout season last year. He was about to get paid, and and obviously to do the abysmal act that he's accused of doing. I mean, he doesn't deserve a spot in the league. I don't feel bad for him. I feel bad for what could have been, but good riddance in my mind.
Good.
Brian, let's talk about our last thing here. We're gonna try to have a little fun. Who would we want on our side in a fight of current NBA players? I have a few people in mind already. But I want to
As do
hear
I.
what you've got.
You want to go a little back and forth or action?
I think so, and I think we shouldn't just do big men because that's easy. I would
Sure.
like to have a few
Ooh,
guards on
good,
here
good.
too.
Want to do one guard, one forward, one center?
Let's do it. I would like the first pick. I don't think you're going to pick this person, but I want to say their name because I think
Okay.
they're an animal. I think Steven Adams.
No, that was a clear number one pick.
Were you gonna pick him?
That was who I was gonna pick. He's gigantic. Look
He's
at him. Are you kidding?
gigantic. He's a mean ass man, sturdy as a motherfucker. I mean, you should see him take fucking people try to run into him and see if he takes a charge. Fuck no, you're bouncing off of him. That's not happening with him. And I mean, yeah, I mean, I would love to have him on my team if I was getting in a fight. I think there are some other big men that you couldn't go wrong choosing, but he's my first pick.
That is a fantastic pick. It really is. And it's one that I would have also taken. So I'm glad you took it. I'm going to go on the other side. I'm going for a guard. I want a guy when I'm in a fight that I don't have to be looking at them to know that they're taking care of absolute business, right? I don't want to have to come to their aid. I want, if anything, they got to come to my aid. I might need it. I want a guy who's been to the trenches, who has seen the unthinkable. A place called Chicago. Give me Derrick Rose in prime fighting shape.
Wow.
I want D Rose with the swiftest hands known to man. Give me D Rose.
We're not worried about injuries during the fight.
If injuries were a part of it, I mean, I'm thinking about a perfect world where injuries are not even thought about. So I'm going with D Rose.
I'm gonna match you there, Brian, with the guard position. And I'm gonna pick Marcus Smart. If you watch the dude play,
Ooh.
he means fucking business. I think part of it's a little fake. Like, I think he, like, gets in the face of Embiid. Like, come on, bro. Like, Embiid would toss his ass. But, like, I do like the spunk. I like the fact that he's, willing to even consider doing that. He knows nothing's gonna happen. But, I mean, he's in there. He's kind of big for a guard too. And
Definitely.
yeah, I mean, he's been this way since college. He's always stood out for his tenacity and his effort. And I would love to have him, back me up in a fight.
I love that a lot, actually. Dang, that's a great pick. Let's see. All right. Okay, now, ladies, I'm thinking right now, I gotta go with a forward. Because no one's gotten them yet. I want a guy who's got length. They've got reach. They can get out on some people. They can be swift with it. They can be agile on their feet and they keep their head up and on a swivel. I want Brandon Slim Reaper the second Ingram.
Oh my God, you gotta explain this one, Brian.
Can you see Brandon Ingram's build? Look at his photo on ESPN. Look at that man. He is ready to dominate. His reach, I can only imagine what his wingspan is. What's his wingspan? Brandon Ingram wingspan. 7'3" reach. That is what I'm talking about. I want to see him swinging and hitting four guys at once. I see big things for my D Rose BI combo. Give me BI. Give me BI, and I want him, no question.
That is a bold pick, Brian. He wouldn't have been in my top 10 forwards, I think, for who I'd want. That he's a skinny ass dude, but to each his own. You really believe in the wingspan there, so I'll give it to you.
I do.
My last pick for forward is, I think, I hadn't, well, I hadn't cemented this prior to the pod, but I think I do. I think this is the right answer, and I think it's Bobby Portis. As some of us may know, Bobby Portis basically kicked Nikola Mirotic out of the league by slugging that dude in the face. So, at practice. So Bobby Portis, has already been in fights on like an NBA team and got suspended for it. And that was really when he wasn't that great of a player. He was not, guaranteed to stay in the league, but he still slugged his ass. So he's got a lot of
He's still
tenacity
slugged
too.
his ass.
He did. He plays with a lot of anger, a lot of effort too, and he's a big ass dude as well. So I'm gonna have to go with Bobby Portis. So who would go? Who would win? Who would win between our teams? I've got Bobby Portis, Marcus Smart, and Steven Adams, and you have BI, Derrick Rose, and who is the big man?
And I haven't picked him yet. I want a guy who's the enforcer. You have an enforcer in your own sense of the word, because Steven Adams is very big. Robert Williams the third,
That's your
give
pick.
me that man. I feel like he would beat me up. Like he would beat me up by accident. He just has an absolute rampage. He would turn the world upside down and throw it on its head. That guy is so intimidating. Even getting rebounds, he's terrifying. I wouldn't even know what to do with myself if I was looking at him. Now, so I got BI, D Rose, and Robert Williams. You have Steven Adams. You have whatchamacallit? Keep going.
Steven Adams, Marcus Smart, and Bobby Portis.
And Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis, family man, Marcus Smart, Chihuahua, all bark, no bite. Steven Adams is the biggest pick, of course, but you give me.
Brandon Ingram, bro, that guy, I could beat him up. Are you kidding me?
All right, pay-per-view incoming.
I think my team would win, but
Honorable mention, Montrezl Harrell.
Oh, that's a good one. He might be all bark, no bite, though.
Yeah, true. He smiles too nicely. I don't like that.
I don't like that. Well, Brian, we're on a shorter time limit today. I was wondering if you had any outstanding comments to say. I have something I want to give a shout out to Sandru Mamukelashvili, who played 23 minutes for the Bucks yesterday, and dropped 8 points, 6 boards, 2 assists, a steal, a block, on 3 for 5 shooting, 2 for 3 from the three, and plus 17 plus minus in a Bucks win. He played in a real game,
That is
so
huge.
I'm
They have him
excited
as a
for the boy.
center. They have him as a center in the NBA.
That's not correct, but
That's what they
yes,
have him as a center. Like, what is going
I
on?
was really happy about that. We're all rooting for him. Shout out to Sandro. Any parting comments, Brian?
First of all, that's amazing. Second of all, excuse me. I am just going to say this right now. There are a ton of people in this league who are really pulling their weight, and I just want to say I'm really proud of the league for taking it seriously. They are setting their lineups all the time. It's like great to see that, like we said before, there's between the first and the last place team right now is 3-game difference max. And it's really nice to see that it's still competitive. It's still, everyone's getting after it. The waivers are quick. Not a lot of room and wiggle room. I'm really impressed with everybody so far. And hopefully we have some nice scores going ahead of time. But also, I'm excited for the next couple pods with, we're getting some new faces in the door. So I'm very excited for that as well.
Yeah, I want to echo that too. Yeah, it's super tight, and I'm loving everyone's effort and actually paying attention. It's really not fun when, there's four teams not paying attention, which we've had in the past. But everyone's engaged, everyone's locked in, and I'm really loving it. And yeah, speaking of new faces, we'll have some new people on the pod soon. And if anyone wants to be on the pod, hit us up. We're happy to have you on. We had a few people that fall through this week, which is why it's just the two of us, but we had to connect and throw a pot up. We haven't had one in a few weeks. And Brian, it's always great talking to you about basketball and fantasy and in life. So happy that we were able to do this again.
Likewise, I'm looking forward to something spectacular for both of us on the waiver wire. Maybe one of our guys pops off coming up. And as always, it's very, very nice speaking with you, Benny. And I think it's time we get on out of here. What do you think?
I think so. Have a great week, everyone.
We out.